This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're now looking at Hong Kong's new security law and its impact on the region. So the last time we touched on this was back in May, and the law was passed by China's legislature. As of yesterday, it's officially in effect, and it's already caused some concerns on the future of Hong Kong's rich history of free speech and openness. So the anniversary of Hong Kong's return to Chinese control is often marked by protests. Yesterday was no different. And within those protests, 370 people were arrested for 10 offences under the new law, which cracks down on political dissent. But people are worried, essentially, that protesters are just the tip of the iceberg. Professor Isabella Ng, for instance, from the Education University of Hong Kong, says that this law can target anyone. And we're seeing that kind of preparation happen within the community or within society in Hong Kong. A museum with artifacts from the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre is digitizing its archives since they're worried that the government will seize them. And booksellers have also talked about a sense of paranoia that their customers, especially if they're new, not regular faces, could turn out to be government spies. Even old news articles are fair game. In fact, writers have actually asked a news site to delete more than 100 articles to protect themselves. Meanwhile, outside of Hong Kong, the situation has understandably caught the attention of global leaders. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that the law breaches the 1985 Sino-British Joint Declaration, as certain freedoms are meant to be protected until at least 2047, and that's 50 years after the British returned Hong Kong to China. But he also went one step further, because the UK is now offering up to 3 million Hong Kong residents a way to ultimately become UK citizens. British overseas national passport holders and their dependents can live in the UK for 5 years, and that's an extension, I think, from 6 months previously, and seek full citizenship. So we wanted to talk about the potential impact of this new law, especially now that it has kicked into gear. And if you have questions or thoughts on this, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Ro actually has sent a WhatsApp saying Hong Kong's new security law is a misleading term. It's China's new security law for Hong Kong. And that's fair enough. I think this is maybe, let's compromise and call it a new security law that affects Hong Kong. So if you have other thoughts, send them through. Joining us on the line now is Ko King Kee, who's the president of the think tank Center for New Inclusive Asia. King Kee, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it's only been a day since this has been in effect, but how have we seen the national security laws being applied in Hong Kong?
Well, I think it's a bit too early to pass judgment. I think so far, according to a report, about 10 people have been arrested, you know, violating this new law. And the rest were protesters that have been arrested under the Hong Kong law. And today, I think, if I'm not wrong, Hong Kong General Chamber of Commerce has issued a statement, you know, expressing its support for the law, saying that it will restore stability and certainty that is important, you know, for Hong Kong. And even, you know, the two big banks, you know, Hong Kong Bank and Shanghai Bank have also expressed their support. And 3 million residents have signed a petition in support of the law. So in general, I think other than some, you know, academics and maybe some media people who express concern, in general, I think the Hong Kong has, has been in a situation where, you know, they have, you know, practically every weekend they have demonstrations of violent protesters vandalizing LRT stations, you know, throwing petrol bombs at these police stations, and even burn, you know, people who disagree with them. So I think that is no good, you know, for Hong Kong's future. So, you know, and Hong Kong government, as though they are unable to control the situation. So in a way, the law was invited by these protesters. Beijing did not, come up with this law out of nothing, but it's in response to this lawlessness in Hong Kong.
Would you say that this law has effectively ended the one country, two systems arrangement that I suppose is technically in place until 2047?
No, I don't think so. That is a misconception, because one country, two system is premised upon one country. You know, that's the two system you're talking about, the socialist system in China, mainland China, and the capitalist system in Hong Kong. You know, the one country, two system that must be premised upon the security of one country. You know, the other system cannot be used to topple or to propagate a separatist movement. That is not the original intention of the two system. If China knows that, Hong Kong will be separated, from the mainland, or there'll be people using this system to propagate separatist movement. I don't think China should agree to this kind of thing, you know.
Mm. We have also seen some international condemnation over the laws, particularly, I think, from the West. What do you make of this response?
Well, I think, first of all, as I said just now, the common folks, the business community, by and large are happy, with the law, because this law will restore stability and certainty, of Hong Kong. There were a lot of talks. Actually, there were evidence to show that some foreign forces were involved or are even instigating, the demonstration in Hong Kong. So, I can't see why, this is an internal matter of Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is now part and parcel of China. You know, it is just a city with a special administrative, it is a special administrative region, a special power. But it's, it is part of China. It is within China's sovereign right to issue laws, to protect its national interests. I can't see why the West should be so concerned. As I said, the business people are happy, the common folks are happy. Why should the foreigners be upset with that? It is a China's internal matter.
Mm. And if we look at the concerns from the academics, right? So outside of the business community, I think we have seen academics express concern that the law could be misused. How would you address that concern?
Well, the Hong Kong still practice the West, the legal system, adopted from UK. So these are only, concerns, assuming that it will be violated, it will be abused. But I think, it has been proven so far, 20 over years, since the return of Hong Kong to China, it has been okay. Until, the demonstration took place. And actually, prior to this, there was this discussion about a similar law, but the legislature of Hong Kong rejected it. So, overall, it is the law was in response to the disorder, to the violent protest movement in Hong Kong. It is not a law that was unilaterally initiated by Beijing. No. It was meant to help Hong Kong to restore stability and certainty so that business can carry on.
So where do you see things heading next for the protest movement in Hong Kong with these new developments?
Well, as you can see, a lot of these so-called leaders of the protest movement have, just before the law took effect, have declared that they are no longer involved and cut the links, with the movement. So I think, it will subside, it will dwindle, and especially now, if without foreign support, just can't continue, I mean, young people, they have to go to school, they have to go to work. Why are they so free, you know? Every weekend or even come to demonstrate. I can't see the logic. I can't see what benefit do they get if there's no support, you know, at the bank.
So in closing then, what impact do you see this law having on Hong Kong and China when it comes to trade and international relations with the rest of the world?
I think it is going to have very little impact. You know, Hong Kong will continue to be the financial center, and Hong Kong will still play a very important role as a gateway to mainland China. And life will just carry on as usual, back to before the demonstration days. You know, it'll be better. There will be certainty, you know. That's the way I look at it. It's only the West, you know, who are concerned, you know, for whatever reason, but for the people of Hong Kong, for mainland China, I think it'd be as usual. And China actually is not quite bothered to explain. Why should it explain to anyone? Because it is an internal matter. It's a domestic affair.
King Kee, thank you so much for weighing in this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
You just heard there from Ko King Kee, who is the president of the Center for New Inclusive Asia, speaking to us about the new national security laws that just took effect in Hong Kong and China. If you would like to weigh in, we're going to continue bringing you the developments, I think, as and when they happen. But if you'd like to weigh in, if you have any thoughts you'd like to share, you can, of course, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.